Blog Talk Radio.
Much like the SWOT analysis that I learned in business school years ago, there are many leadership lessons borrowed and adopted from the rank and file of military figures, both past and present. You simply cannot win military campaigns without strong and effective leadership. And you cannot make progress in business or community projects or government initiatives without strong leadership. Are leaders born or are they simply made from the experiences of life? That's a question we'll ask our guest today, Deborah L. Parker, who learned much of from her own military career as a retired lieutenant colonel of the U.S. Army. And she learned even more from her uncle, Command Sergeant Major Harris L. Parker, who she affectionately called Uncle Horace. She captured that insight in her new book, Hardcore Lessons, Leadership, 11 Master Lessons from My Airborne Ranger Uncle's Final Jump. What does leadership mean to you? And when does a leader need to switch gears so that others can follow more effectively? We'll explore leadership and its many lessons on today's show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. It is a beautiful day here in Boston. We are enjoying the sunshine, enjoying the weather. I hope it's good wherever you happen to be, and if it's not good in terms of weather, I hope in the coming days you'll have great, great weather. Hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day. I enjoyed my Mother's Day last weekend immensely with my daughters. Really the first time that I have enjoyed it to that degree in many, many years following the death of my son and my mother 15 years ago. So this was a very special Mother's Day where I had a chance to enjoy both daughters, my granddaughters, and a wonderful mother-daughter tea. And I have a great picture that I shared on my Facebook page, so check it out. We'd love for you to see it. I also am excited because my books continue to do well and the support is still there. Thank you so much to all of those who have purchased both 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community, and also Real Women, Real Issues, Positive Collaboration for Business Success. Both books are doing well. I have a goal of selling 10,000 copies, and you are helping me to get there. So you can check both books out at my website, tellcarole.com. That's TellCarole. And find out more about each book. You can purchase them together as a package. I have a special that's going on, free shipping. You have a wonderful Boston Strong bonus gift that comes with both when you purchase both books. And for those, increasingly I'm having managers, supervisors, HR professionals to buy the book in bulk, particularly my multicultural book. They're purchasing the book in bulk in copies of in quantities of 10, 20, 30, and more. And they are using it as part of their training activities and training workshops and classes within their organization. So that's also a great way to use 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community. You can chat with me more about that by giving me a call at 508-947-5755, or again, go to my website, tellcarole.com, and learn more about it. Well, I always admire those who are in the military. My dad was in the U.S. Army Air Corps during World War II, and that became the Tuskegee Airmen. So I have a lot of recognition and admiration for those who have gone that way. My grandfather was also in World War I, and my other grandfather served on the draft board between World War I and World War II. So he was responsible for those who got drafted and ultimately served their country and served it well. So we have an Army veteran on today who speaks so well of not only the military years that she was a part of, but also a very, very special uncle that we want to learn more about. I'm very, very happy to have on the retired lieutenant colonel, and I want to talk to her about the base where she trained because I have a connection there. But very delighted to have my sorority sister on as well, Deborah Parker. Deborah, welcome to the show today.
Thanks so much, Carol, and it's wonderful to connect with you from, I guess, we met a few years ago.
Yes, we did. We met at a Blacks in Government convention where we were both speaking, and you were at that point in time autographing and promoting one of your earlier books. So you are really out there in terms of books. How many copies now? How many books have you actually published now?
I have published four, actually. Three in print and ebook, and one that's in ebook only.
super. Well, you are prolific, and I love it. I have three books out, so I'm catching up with you, and hey, the more the merrier. And again, hopefully we'll inspire others to share their stories. And you have certainly shared a wonderful story in this book, Hardcore Leadership, 11 Master Lessons from My Airborne Ranger Uncle's Final Jump. How did you come up with that particular title, and tell us about the subject of this great book?
Okay, all right. Well, my uncle Horace was also known as Hardcore in the family because, you know, being an airborne ranger, you know, again, they're known as those tough guys. And back when CB radios were popular and my uncles all picked their handles, Hardcore was the handle he picked, and everyone agreed that it just fit for him so well. And that toughness, though, did not take away from him being this very warm and caring uncle who, for me, also stood in the gap as a father figure, as my mother was a single parent of four children.
Right.
There's 2 years, he's my mother's middle brother, with 2 years between them, and they just had this similar grit in their personalities in terms of who they were and their best selves and what they offered the world and how they cared about their work, their service to the family and the community. And my uncle and I had talked about writing a book together back when my first one came out, and he mentioned some of his other Army buddies had written books. And but you know, but God had other plans, and he became ill and passed away in December of 2011. But I know in spirit he knew that I would press on, which were two of his favorite words, press on, in his honor. So probably within a month after his passing, I had started to work on an outline for this book. And the way the format flowed, I looked and I had like 11 points I wanted to cover. And then when I looked up the number 11, I Googled the number 11, I saw that it was a master number. spiritual insight and instruction, and it just all blended and fit so wonderfully as a way to honor his very much in charge and teaching persona.
Well, yeah, I think what's great is that, again, I mentioned earlier, lots of people have, we all have somebody in our family or our extended family who we are endeared to, and we have a lot of love and admiration for, but few people really put pen to paper and actually write up either an article or a story about that particular person. A lot of people talk about it, you know, and then life gets in the way and they just don't actually get around to it. But for you to dedicate this book to him, and I think that's why I was drawn toward it, the subject matter, but also the fact that you were going to focus on an African-American leader, a military leader, and one who has gone through a rigorous course in terms of being being a ranger, and one who you can admire and probably follow behind, because you also mentioned in the book that I think there are four daughters in your family, or four siblings in your family, and all of them were military. So everybody in your family ended up going into the military. Did that just happen, or was that all because of the admiration you had for your Uncle Horace?
I think the admiration we had for our Uncle Horace, and no matter where he was stationed, you know, he always found his way back home and was just so glad to see all his family. And he was very focused on being an uncle. So we also sought out his advice for career matters in addition to other life matters, and he was just always willing to to share his wisdom, based on his experience. And I also tell people my grandparents, his parents were just two very wise people, and also had a great sense of humor. And I think he captured both of those things, very well.
My
company is the DPJ Training Group. And most people think it's Deborah Park or something. But again, my maternal grandparents, his parents, it's Deborah, Pearl, and Joseph. They're my spiritual
very
business
nice.
Associates.
That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Now, we have a connection because you did a lot of your extensive training when you were in the military, late 70s, early 80s, in a place I know pretty well, and that's right outside of Columbus, Georgia.
Yes.
Benning, Georgia.
Yes.
So share with us your experiences at Fort Benning, then I'll tell you my connection to Fort Benning.
Okay. All right. Great. Yeah. And actually, Fort Benning is the home of the Army Rangers as well. I will say that my uncle spent some early years as an instructor in the Ranger Department there. So when I joined the military, I actually enlisted first, and then I applied to go to Officer Candidate School, and I was accepted. And that course, that 14-week grueling course, takes place in the red clay and heat of Fort Benning, Georgia. So it was quite an experience. But again, when you look at that toughness and being able to lead and deal with a variety of scenarios, Fort Benning was an excellent place to get that type of experience, and the tactical officers and getting along with your colleagues and even evaluating your colleagues and doing things for me I never thought I would do. Certainly firing the weapons, camping out on bivouac, and then the classroom instruction still around Army strategy, and being able to, as you say, run an effective, campaign. All that just became so useful for me, not just in the military, but my life outside of the military.
Wow. That's amazing. You have a wonderful picture in the book when you graduated in July 1979 with your mom and your uncle pinning you those second lieutenant bars on your uniform.
Yeah.
That was really special. But my connection is my mother's people are from Columbus, Georgia. And Fort Benning, in fact, is on the ancestral land of my relatives. When Fort Benning was actually started, way back when, late 1800s, early 1900s, my relatives owned 600 acres of land, and they sold that land to the U.S. government so that Fort Benning could be built.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
On that base, you probably didn't notice it, but there's a very small street on that base called Gaines Circle, and that's my family name. So my mother's relatives were the Gaines family, and they sold the land, and there is a sign, I've actually seen it, Gaines Circle on Fort Benning, and so that is my connection to that wonderful base.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks for sharing that amazing history with me, Carol. So so some of that red dirt I got all over me belonged to your
That's right. You never know.
Other piece is we're constantly uncovering. These parts of our personal and cultural history, through
so
this type of sharing.
Yeah, so very true. So tell us, I want to go to a couple of your points, and I encourage my listeners to get this book. You can get it at Amazon.com. We'll give you Deborah's website in just a few minutes. But actually, as you are talking about your uncle, one point that you have, and the lessons are just wonderful, but you have lesson number 10, allies, family, team, or foe, follow me. Share with us why that's an important leadership tip.
Wow. My uncle had, I think, just a very uncanny ability to bring people together by recognizing, their differences and their similarities and harnessing people to move towards a mission. One of the stories I share that in the family, like I said, he was the middle brother, but after my grandparents passed away, he pretty much became the family leader. So, but even within the family, he certainly had some allies, some, the friends and some family. I always say family, you know, is, you know, has some of the same types of challenges we have in the larger society around conflict and mission and goals. And then after he left the military, he went back to our hometown of Waverly, Virginia, and just kind of immersed himself in the community after having been away from there for 30 years. And he ran for mayor. He ran for mayor the first year he came back. He didn't win, but you know, he knew that, you know, there was something he had to contribute based on his leadership skills. He then got noticed because of his background and was selected to be a chief magistrate of the 6th district there. And certainly there he encountered a lot of people who had thought they weren't going to get that opportunity. And so still, you know, he recognized you're always going to have foes. But how do you find a connection, a point of interest where you can still come together, at least for that moment? It kind of reminds me of the work of Peter Block, and he talks about adversaries and fence sitters, and you know, it's a very nice matrix. But there's a way to win over, you know, people in all those different categories, and that's what my uncle did. And then when he passed away, he was actually the chair of the Board of Supervisors in our hometown county. And needless to say, he also encountered a lot of foes. you're trying to run this board like we're all in the army, but he was also a visionary and saw ways to turn our county into a major player, you know, in the agriculture as well as some other industries in the community. So, but he had a way to handle people that wasn't mean spirited. But he had no problems, you know, certainly being truthful and blunt when he wanted to, but people understood the purpose in that. And he was no different in the family. You know, if you needed to engage him over, you know, an issue or what have you, you know, he's going to hear you out. he was going to talk to you like he knew you. And, And the boundaries, you know, again, stayed intact. Again, there were just no dirty politics, as I would say, whether, again, it was in the board or with the family. Wow. So,
do you have you have a copy of the book in front of you? I wanted you to read the two paragraphs on page 95 that goes with this lesson 10. I thought that would be a great way to illustrate the importance of the topic.
Okay, yeah, I have it in front of me now.
And we're talking to Deborah Parker, and she's written a wonderful new book that's out, Hardcore Leadership, 11 Master Lessons from My Airborne Ranger, Uncle's Final Jump. And we're now looking at page 95, lesson 10. It's titled Allies, Family, Team, or Foe, Follow Me. And I'd love for Deborah to read just those paragraphs at the bottom.
Okay, let me grab my glasses as well. Something that happens, you know, as we get to be a little bit more chronologically gifted.
I love that, chronologically gifted.
Yeah, but
I love that one.
Can't go very, very far. So, follow me is the Army Infantry Creed, showcasing a willingness to stay in the fight and be a relentless seeker of freedom. These soldiers are trained to lead in every way, and they take care of each other, reaching out to fallen comrades with a vow to never leave one behind. Did you want me to continue?
Yeah, we'll stop there because I want to talk about some other points, but I think that's so important. Again, I mean, I've not been in the military, but obviously I've had family members who are in the military, and I mean, you have to be crazy not to understand how important it is to take care of each other when you're in combat. I mean, that's how you survive. And to me, that was such an important component that you put there. And it reminds me of those who are in leadership roles, whether they're in a community, whether they're working in business, the importance of taking care of each other. And that team leadership is what you're talking about, is that anybody can do their own thing. But when you are in a unit and when you are working in the body of working with other people, the connection that you have with each other can determine the outcome of the success of a project, of reaching a goal, or in the case of the military, staying alive. And so it so you go beyond, and I think a leader, what you're trying to say here is that a leader has to go beyond their personal performance. You have to find the ways that people can connect with each other, can interact with each other, and in the case you talk about your uncle and how he was able to bring friends and foes together, but mm-hmm. in a way where you can constructively move forward based on the energy and the insight of that leader. Am I sort of summarizing the importance of leadership and team leadership and working together in a unified fashion?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And even the piece would never leave a fallen comrade behind. As I stated in the summary in the book, I said my uncle saw leadership being a constant, whether it was in the service, in the community, mm-hmm. or in the family. Mm-hmm. So in mm-hmm. the family, he was the go-to person when people had challenges, mm-hmm. whether they be personal, financial, what have you. But mm-hmm. the other piece is, and I write about this too, is that he also had these operating creeds, which is something I also borrowed from the military. And, for example, one of the his creeds around loaning money to family members was, mm-hmm. he says, I don't loan it unless I can afford to lose it.
Yeah.
So he would do whatever he could for you, but you knew the boundaries and you knew what he stood for.
Well, he loaned you money to get your uniforms when you first enlisted in service, right?
Because I did mention I enlisted first and went to a unit for 6 months and then applied for OCS. So I needed a whole bunch of new uniforms to do that. So when I called him and told him, I said, Uncle Horace, I'm getting ready to go to officer candidate school, but need some new uniforms. Can I borrow some money?
Well,
and
that was a good
he graciously obliged.
A good investment.
And I paid him back.
That's great. You stayed in good
company. I paid
him
back.
That's good. That's good. Another lesson that I particularly was drawn toward was lesson number 4. And that's mistakes and flaws matter, but mm-hmm. press on anyway. That's on page 53. Once again, can you read just that first the first page that spills over into the next page? Because so often you think, oh, you have to be perfect or near perfect. Well, no, leadership is not perfection. Leaders make mistakes. And I think you cover this very well in this chapter.
Okay, so start with that bottom paragraph.
Well, actually, if you could start at the beginning where it happens to the best and most extraordinary.
Sure, yeah. And actually, I have a quote, too, that I think is important. Know thyself, know thy enemy. 1,000 battles, 1,000 victories. And that comes from Sun Tzu.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to the best and most extraordinary. Soldiers fail in some of their missions. Not all jumps are successful. The enemy wins sometimes. Leaders do make mistakes. We all take the wrong road occasionally, willingly or not. Our passions can move into overuse mode, reversing their intended effect. We all have strengths and weaknesses. The greatest of generals have had the most public of downfalls. Presidents have made bad decisions, a few based on their not-so-best selves. CEOs with the most magnificent of attributes have run companies amok because of greed, or they run them ruthlessly, not liked by their followers, but respected for their brilliance. Research on the most famous of leaders in every part of society has focused on their flaws. Turn my page. Has focused on their flaws and character defects. Anecdotal pieces of their research suggest that a bit of their best of achievements have been in part fueled by their imperfections. Uncle Horace, like all of us.
So I'll ask you to read that next paragraph, and then we'll have a discussion about it. Yes.
Okay, all right. Uncle Horace, like all of us, had his faults and challenging attributes that did not always serve him well. Even in the family, we knew the conditions in which they showed up, and we tried not to aggravate them.
So talk to us about how he moved through his faults and difficulties and challenges, but still became such a strong leader anyway? And why is that important for any of us to know?
Yeah. I mentioned a piece earlier about you're connected to purpose, you know, and mission, and for him, you know, those two words as well were just always at the forefront. He cared very deeply about certainly his service in the military, but also he cared very deeply about his home, the place of his beginnings, our hometown, and saw great things in store for them. But as I read a moment ago, sometimes our passions can go into overuse mode, you know, and kind of diminish the intended effect. Uncle Horst was a very powerful person and presence and deed, and you know, that intimidation factor. I won't say he used it, but you know, people, that's what people saw, and sometimes it created those types of challenges in their interactions. And he did bring the force of his Army experience to bear, and he held some very high-level positions as a command sergeant major. And even though he was enlisted, you know, he would oftentimes have to go toe-to-toe with generals. He had a no-fear approach when it came to having those difficult types of interactions and conversations. But deep in his heart and his core, you know, he knew that, you know, he was working towards the betterment. He was open to feedback from folks, and he would hear it. But ultimately, like a lot of us, you know, again, he went with whatever his gut told him, but he also had a faith that even in the most difficult and trying of communications or other interactions, that it would all work out well. That people may not, the other part of one of his quotes was, people may not always like what you're doing, but you press on anyway.
There's a faint, wonderful poem that I use from time to time in the work that I do, and it just talks about doing things anyway and give the best you've got anyway. The name of the poem is Anyway.
Yes, so I've seen that one.
Yes, it puts you in the mind frame that obviously stuff is going to happen, but when you have a purpose, when you have vision, and when you are principled, that really trumps it all. And that's what I'm hearing in terms of your Uncle Horace and the wonderful work that you have done. I'm excited for you, and share with us your website and how people can get in touch with you, Deborah.
Yes, my website is www.thedpjtraininggroup.com, and you will see a listing of certainly my training services, but also a listing of my books. Email, the best email is dlparker6@verizon.net, and I'm most responsive to that email address.
And you're headed down to North Carolina to do a special book signing, I believe it's Fort Bragg, correct?
Yes. My uncle, he still loved all things Army and military after he retired and was involved in a number of organizations. He actually served as the national president of the Triple Nickel, the 555 Parachute Infantry Association, back in the mid-1990s, and that honors the first black paratroopers during World War II. And one of the pictures I have in the book is one of him and President Bill Clinton. He received the recognition on the 50th anniversary of those black parachuters and their involvement in World War II. Also at Fort Bragg, the home of the Airborne, they have an Airborne Special Operations Museum. My uncle was a board member there as of when he passed away. So they are hosting me for a book signing this weekend of Hardcore Leadership.
That's wonderful. Well, I know you're going to sell out, definitely. This is a great book. I'm going to use it in my training, give you full credit, and share your good work with those that I come across. It's a wonderful tribute to your uncle. Deborah Parker, thank you so much for being a guest on my program, and good luck with all your important work. Take care.
Thank you so much, Carol. Great to connect.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. This has been a great show. I hope that you've learned a little bit about leadership and how important it is, not just in the military, but in our daily lives. Go out and have a great day, and we hope that you will be empowered and inspired in everything that you do. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. We'll talk to you and see and hear you and chat with you next week. Take care.